Association, and integration. Unlike conventional exposure treatment, EMDR spends very little time revisiting the original trauma. The trauma itself is certainly the starting point, but the focus is on stimulating and opening up the associative process. As our Prozac EMDR study showed, drugs can blunt the images and sensations of terror, but they remain embedded in the mind and body. In contrast with the subjects who improved on Prozac, whose memories were merely blunted, not integrated as an event that happened in the past and still caused considerable anxiety, those who received EMDR no longer experienced the distinct imprints of the trauma. It had become a story of a terrible event that had happened a long time ago. As one of my patients said, making a dismissive hand gesture, "It's over." While we don't yet know precisely how EMDR works, the same is true of Prozac. Prozac has an effect on serotonin, but whether its levels go up or down, and in which brain cells, and why that makes people feel less afraid is still unclear. We likewise don't know precisely why talking to a trusted friend gives such profound relief, and I'm surprised how few people seem eager to explore that question. Clinicians have only one obligation: to do whatever they can to help their patients get better. Because of this, clinical practice has always been a hotbed for experimentation. Some experiments fail, some succeed, and some, like EMDR, dialectical behavior therapy, and internal family systems therapy, go on to change the way therapy is practiced. Validating all these treatments takes decades and is hampered by the fact that research support generally goes to methods that have already been proven to work. I am much comforted by considering the history of penicillin. Almost 4 decades passed between the discovery of its antibiotic properties by Alexander Fleming in 1928 and the final elucidation of its mechanisms in 1965.